Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Today on the radio show, it's just mostly us. It's just mostly us. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris has been up early because he did the early word over at the Daily Memphian. And the early word, it's a regular part, an essential part, I would even say, of my mornings now. I read the early word, and normally written by Bianca over at the Daily Memphian, and it captures what's happening in the day, and it's written with some charm and joy and humor, and then you can always tell when it's a slightly different voice. And so today, it was Chris wrote a. Well, someone wrote about the summer reading they were doing and that they wanted to read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee before their trip to the Dakotas this summer. And I was like, is Bianca going to the Dakotas? And then I realized, no, it's Chris Harrington. So he's been up early. Chris has got a lot of the day under the belt already. He's going to be joining us straight up at 10 o'clock. But other than that, it is us to talk about a really remarkably busy weekend of sports. Kind of stunningly busy weekend of sports, starting with the news Friday that the, not exactly a surprise, but the House settlement had been approved by Judge Claudia Wilkins. And so we are on into that new era of college sports, which we will talk about. But we had, we had the Triple Crown, Jeffrey, the last race of the Triple Crown. We had the College World Series. We had golf. We had riveting tennis. We had, and of course, the NBA Finals. Continues. It was a
Stanley Cup final. Another multi overtime.
It's been really kind of fun, and kind of nuts. Did you do anything entertaining?
Not particularly.
Well, it rained Saturday.
We tried to play golf. We got 5 holes in. The good news
is this was Saturday morning?
Yeah, Saturday morning. The good news is I played really well, but because of the rain and the few holes we played, I didn't have to post the score.
Oh,
that's big.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. A shout out to the folks who there's a pressure washing outfit called Wolf's Pressure Washing. And here's a little news flash, Jeffrey. We're selling our house. We're getting our house on the market. And if any of you want to buy literally the best family house in the history of the world, which has a drinking fountain in the kitchen, mm-hmm. just be in touch. It's not on the market yet. But so we had the pressure washer out. And I want to commend them for pressure washing in the torrential rain Saturday morning. You're out there pressure washing.
That's earning the paycheck.
There was even a little lightning. And I'm saying this has suddenly gotten very exciting. But it was mostly pressure. Yeah. Torrential rain and God's own pressure washing, happening. And the folks at Wolf were out there doing their pressure washing. And I appreciated their good work. Okay. The bummer of the weekend came when you got the email. Is that, how'd you find out? How'd you find out about Zach Edey?
Found out by
Twitter? We on Twitter?
Yeah, well, I wasn't on Twitter, whatever. You get the, I have notifications set up for Shams so that I don't get
dinged. So it dings?
Correct.
I was just looking at my email. I was just looking at my email and it said Grizzly injury update, medical news, or whatever, how they phrase it, right? I'm like,
right.
I didn't expect any medical news. Did you, were we waiting any, or awaiting any medical news?
If we were, I was checked out because yeah. I did not know this was on the table.
Or any medical news. I would love, was there something about anyone who I was waiting for, we were waiting for insight on? I didn't like say, well, what can this be? And I really, I did not have the feeling of dread that I obviously should have had. It was just misplaced feeling of curiosity. Huh. Wonder what this is. And it's just like, I mean, it is not the end of the world. It's just, it's when you've been punched repetitively and repetitively and repetitively, the next punch that you take, even if it isn't a knockout blow, it's like, holy crap. Like, one of the things, you get to the end of a season, and if there are bad things that happen, you at least, you get to turn the page. You know, you sort of emotionally like, okay.
Get everyone healthy, get back to training camp, right, start again next year.
Start again. Like, let's focus on the good. Let's remember that this team is still in the same tier as all those other teams, except for Oklahoma City in the West. Let's remember that they still have a core three of very good players. Let's remember whatever. Like you start. Okay. Phew. I mean, obviously, it was super important to turn the page to on that horrendously injury plagued season 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
But even this year, you're like, okay, well, that was disappointing, but we're gonna turn the page, and I start to look at teams like Minnesota or teams like Indiana or teams like the Knicks. And you're like, you know what? If you can just stay healthy, like, because those teams fundamentally did, right?
Yep.
If you can just, like, that's the key. You just stay healthy. There's no magic here.
And avoid Oklahoma City.
There's a lot of good players on the Grizzlies roster. And you stay healthy. And next year, you know, we could be Indiana. Next year, we could be the Knicks. Next year, we could be Minnesota. There's no reason that you couldn't be. It's a new day. It's a new, you're starting to think about the off season. And then you get this email saying that Zach Edey sprained his foot. That's it, Jeffrey. It's a sprained foot. That's all. It's a sprain. It's a sprain, Jeffrey. It's just a sprain. Now, it is the third sprain of the left foot. Mind you, you know how many games Zach Edey missed at Purdue?
I believe the answer, Jeff, is zero.
I think it's one and wasn't for injury. I don't know what the occasion was. Yeah,
I think the number, I think
but
the stat
for
was
injuries,
like,
it's zero.
Correct. Or that's the, I should say that.
138.
That is the stat that gets often promoted.
And all of a sudden, and I do not, do you believe in curses? Even like the curse of the Bambino.
Okay, so I don't necessarily believe in curses. I do believe in psychological elements that even if, like, I don't necessarily believe in a curse, I do believe that, like, fan bases and whatnot can, like, expect bad things, and sometimes that can, like, seep out.
Does it manifest bad things? Here's, I guess, the way I believe that it could work is that if you are a team where bad things have happened, a lot of bad things that have happened, it can create pressures that cause you to act irrationally as a franchise that can actually cause more bad things to happen.
Yes.
In other words, my beloved...
You articulated it better.
My beloved Buffalo Sabres now have missed the playoffs for 14 years in a row. And so, and there's all kinds of talk about, well, you know, what are... And so what it causes them to do is, as a franchise, to make trades, to push buttons, to do things that they shouldn't do, that in order to overcome
like 10 different
approaches, things,
yeah.
In order to overcome the bad things, which actually then perpetuates the bad things,
right?
Right. But that doesn't apply to injury. Like it does not apply.
No, I agree with you.
It does not apply to injury, and so I do believe. I don't believe this in the case of the Grizzlies. I do believe that it's theoretically possible that a sports franchise can have a bad medical staff or a bad training staff or a bad hell. My beloved Buffalo Bills fired their head trainer this past year, like whatever, because they well, it seems like because they didn't like the way that Dalton Kincaid was being developed physically and whatever, whatever. So
Commanders didn't find Trent Williams' brain cancer.
There. Yes, you can have a, you can have.
Yeah.
So that's possible. But I really do think I don't believe that FedEx Forum is built on an Indian burial ground. I don't believe. That bringing in Chandler Parsons, what would be the causes if the Grizzlies were to have a curse? The skull in the skull that was in the pyramid. There's this legendary skull, yeah. Of course, that was placed in. Is there any reason for?
I mean, I would be open to seeing some literature. Do we know what is underneath the foundation of FedEx Forum? Like, I do at least want to like rule
you
it out.
You want to explore?
I want to rule it out first.
Something about the Chickasaw tribe.
Because don't you think at this point, like, we need to, like, say, all right, I need to see everything. And hey, I got to start.
A lot of times it's something that the franchise did that trading Babe Ruth.
Right.
That then. But is there anything that the Grizzlies did? I don't think. Drafting Hashim Thabeet was its own kind of curse. You were cursed with Hashim Thabeet when you did that,
and you had to watch all the other guys,
and you had to watch it. Yeah. It was, but I don't think drafting Hashim Thabeet is connected with any kind of curse, or bringing in Chandler Parsons, or trading away Kyle Lowry, or I don't know. Like, if someone's got theories, let me know. So I kind of want to
explore the. Should we look at the timeline for injuries post Chandler and pre Chandler?
You think it's a Chandler curse?
Well, I'm not willing to say I definitively, but I'm at the point where I want to get back to, like, let's start at ground zero again. Like, I want to hear all the ideas.
When all this bad stuff is happening, what do? You launch an investigation.
Correct. We got to figure out
a blue ribbon panel.
Yes.
And you need medical experts. Historians who are very familiar with the
online conspiracy theories.
You need online, yeah, sorry.
Again,
local historians. You need local historians who understand the local history.
Yes.
I think Bill Dries from the Daily Memphian should be on this
100%.
Case, right? 100%. Like, probably someone from Tom Lee's family should be here because it's right there on the river. Who knows the river better than. So assemble a blue ribbon panel, someone from St. Jude, because, like, we got science. We got all
correct.
The science we could possibly need, and just get to the bottom of this because.
Yes.
He just sprained his freaking ankle. He had never been hurt at Purdue. He arrives with the Grizzlies, and it's during summer league. That's when this started. It wasn't like we got a little bit of healthy Zach Edey. No, it happened during summer league. He got hurt, and then okay, well, whatever. It's just summer league. It's just summer league. He's just gonna be missing a little summer league. No big deal. And then it's against Denver, a November game. Against Denver, re-injures the ankle. And let's be honest, up until then, just talk about him being rookie of the year. Right? There was, like, whatever. And then
It was not a terrific rookie class.
No, it was a poor.
And
it was
he was
lousy.
He was consistently playing.
And then it was, and he missed a dozen games then. But then he has his ups and downs. Isolo was hired.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the trajectory looks pretty good. Had some rough moments in the playoffs against the Thunder. Not the only one.
I was going to say, who didn't?
Not the only one. And now we get this third sprain. You know what they say, the third sprain's the charm.
Mm-hmm.
And he has surgery. You know why? It was surgery because, and I'd never heard this before, but...
Preemptive surgery? Is that what we're calling it?
No, because of excessive ligament laxity.
Okay.
There was excessive ligament laxity, the old excessive ligament laxity. And although the Grizzlies did not offer a timeline, it appears he will miss the start of the next season. And this is a bummer. Don't have to tell you. Don't know you people out there. It's a bummer. Partly, I'd say the two biggest reasons are as follows. One, it's just happening again, right? Like it's again. Really? Seriously? We're going to have another year that is defined by injury? In some ways, all NBA seasons are defined by injury, by either injury or the lack of injury. Like that's what we've come to realize about NBA seasons. But we don't want this Grizzlies NBA season to be defined by injury. When are we getting, is there any waiting, you know, what, waiting to Zach return, all of that? But then the other reason, so there's the repetitive nature of this, but then the other reason it is such a bummer is I had really brought myself to believe that the main sources of improvement for the Grizzlies would be the two rookies, Jalen Wells and Zach Edey, being better this coming year. Yeah. And in particular, Zach Edey. We're going to see Zach Edey unleashed as we did under Tuomas Ysitalo, and this time it's going to be for a full season with a full training camp. Like, he's going to spend all summer getting better and more nimble, and he's going to come back, and he is going to be Zach Edey unleashed. The truth of the matter is, if you had asked me what my very highest hope for improvement going into this next season was,
Zach getting better.
It was a better Zach Edey.
Yeah.
Because I Jalen Wells, it feels like he can be better, but he was already pretty good, and he's a guy with a high floor, low ceiling kind of guy, yeah. Right? So it's like, literally my biggest hope for improvement from the Memphis Grizzlies was better Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And building upon...
Yes, it was not perfect at the end of the year, but it was clearly better than it had been all season.
Yes.
And build upon that.
Building upon that. Like, and again, we can still see a better Zach Edey. We can still see an unleashed Zach Edey. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to be, I mean, the truth of the matter is, what do we have last year? What did we have last year was, who are the two players heading into the last season who we'd gotten excited about in the previous season? And we're like, my God, with a full year, another year under their belts, what can they come back and be?
Vince and Gigi.
And we're like, Vince is just going to miss the start of the season, but then he's going to come back and he's going to be in the starting lineup and he's going to be the guy. He's going to be pushing Marcus Smart out of the starting. And we never saw healthy Vince. Never once. Even at the very end. We were supposed to get healthy Vince. Oh, it's just, okay, he'll be a little slow coming out of the blocks, but otherwise we're going to, and Gigi became a G League player and a malcontent.
Yep.
Because of injury.
And role.
And yes, and role, which was also at least in part defined by injury. And so this is all, you know what? Tommy West put it best.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
It is so painful, and maybe more painful than it should be. It's just an ankle surgery, and he should be fine after missing the start of the regular season. But my God, it was unexpected. Hit me unexpectedly hard. You?
It was the classic. What next? Really, like, because you know what I mean. Like, as you point out, like, there was this attitude of, all right, last season ended the way that it did. It sucked, but there were things you could talk yourself into that weren't that unreasonable. And you were just minding your own business, and you're sitting there like, okay, let's restart at summer league. We'll start to kind of see how maybe do they do an off-season move? Do they get back into the draft? Like, let's just kind of turn the page. And then you get hit with this, and you're now thinking, okay, the two guys that you were primarily counting on in the front court, one is having ankle surgery, and the other went and had injections into his knee to avoid surgery. Brandon Clark.
We'll talk to Chris Harrington about what this means for the roster. In other words, if this will have to somehow redefine the priorities of the Grizzlies for the roster this summer. But that's exactly one of the questions. What do you got? You got injured Zach Edey. You got Brandon Clark, who came back very well last year, but, you know, whatever. And then you got Jay Huff, who's very clearly a bit player.
Yeah. Right?
And so do they have to do more at center? What could they do at center? Does it redefine their priorities? We will talk to Chris Harrington about that. In the meantime, there was a game last night. It felt a lot more like what I expected, what a lot of us expected. And in a weekend of incredibly gripping sports contests, this was not one of them.
Yep.
There was a 19-2 run in the second quarter, and after that, that was really that, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Things of interest, SGA, 34 points, this time more efficient on 21 shots. Oklahoma City was 29 of 33 from the line compared to 19 of 26 for the Pacers. Halliburton continues, like, he hit the big shot. He hit the big shot. Total non-factor, took six shots in the first three quarters before getting 12 points, I think it was, in the fourth. But that's what Oklahoma City can do. They can take you out of it, and they have essentially made the massive shot, but otherwise pretty much a non-factor. And here's one that's critical. Indiana really won the first game by limiting the damage off of turnovers, but by easily winning the three-point battle. Here, they were 14 of 40. The Thunder were 14 of 36. So it was a draw, essentially. Thunder even more efficient, and that was that. You got great games from Caruso, Jalen Williams, Aaron Wiggins. It was 5 of 8 from 3. Indiana scored 66 again second half, but by then it didn't matter because you had the second quarter.
Yeah, I also thought another big deal was the Thunder seemed to be more open to the idea of playing both bigs at the same time.
Yep.
And the rebounding, I think.
The rebounding was no longer dramatically better on the rebounding front as well. So that happened. In terms of the gripping stuff, Jeffrey, it is interesting. Like, it will be interesting to see what this, and I really feel like, weirdly, because it's the French, I really feel like this match helped. It was already a thing. Like, these two had already won the last, now they've won the last six Grand Slams.
Right.
Right? And they'd won 7 of 8.
Yep.
But when you have an epic five-setter like this,
With two tie breaks
that goes over 6 hours.
Yeah. Three tie breaks because the second set was
That's right. It feels like this really elevated, and they're freaking 22 and 3 years old. This really elevated the the rivalry in a way that it's like, okay, the old guys moved off the stage. Here's the new guys.
I also think it really helps that they're like the thing that was interesting about the big three era was you kind of had three different approaches. Like Federer was like the ultimate, like smooth robot. Nadal was like the gritty, never say die, like running all around. And then Djokovic was kind of like somewhere in the middle, but he kind of had the power game. The thing about these two guys is they both just feel like they're just like all round awesome. Like they both hit amazing, like they hit amazing winners. Obviously, Sinner serves better than Alcaraz's, but it's not like Alcaraz has a bad serve. Like, and you just kind of realize in tennis, you kind of need the big names at the big stages, and like, well, that kind of drives
it. We can say all we want whether parity's good in the NBA or whether parity's good, whatever. In tennis,
I think it suffers.
You need the champions. You need the greats. I still think, and maybe it's just a product of my era, like, I think the greatest era in terms of the greatest players all at one time is what we just saw, right?
Yes.
I still think the McEnroe, Borg, Connors, and even then you had, you know, Courier,
so late
Chang,
70s into
Agassi,
the 80s, early 90s.
Yeah,
like, Edberg, Wielander, Sampras.
Like I feel like that run for tennis was the greatest ever, but maybe that's a product of my time.
I don't necessarily know if it's a product of the time. I would argue it's a product of how we now have, you now see everything. So like in that era, you could build up to these, you could build up to the big events, and then like,
well, there were a bunch of American tournaments and there were a bunch
correct.
Of Americans. I mean, as great as this last era was, except for on the women's side.
Yes.
They weren't.
I mean, Andy Roddick is a great player who happened to be born at the wrong time.
So this weekend we had Coco Gauff.
Yep.
Winning the women's, after which her defeated opponent was,
that was banana land.
Was totally bananas.
I mean, I like Sabalenka
whatsoever,
but she was just like blaming the wind.
She blamed
everything.
It was totally like,
she's like, you're great, but let me.
And then she also said that the who'd she beat in the semis?
Sabalenka beat. So Coco got to beat the Bisson, and
she
then
said the
Iga,
person
she beat Iga.
And she said Iga would have beaten, she literally said,
right,
after losing the title to Coco Gauff, she said Coco would have lost to
Iga Swiatek.
To Swiatek,
yes.
To Swiatek.
Swiatek.
She said, what a thing to say.
I mean, it was.
It just goes on. It was totally, it was the least gracious, like nothing. It was just, this is horrible conditions. I played horrible. It was nothing she did. It was only the fact that I played horrible because of the wind.
Correct.
And other players would have beaten her. It was astounding. Anyway.
I did love Chrissy Everett afterwards. Make an adjustment. She's
right.
She's like, it was windy for Coco too.
Yes.
She's not like it was. She
one
was,
hand on the wind.
She
one
was like, it wasn't like the
apart.
Wind was only on one side.
But so then in Sinner and Alcaraz, you had Sinner is up in the fourth set. He's about to win the damn thing. Alcaraz is serving.
Up, I think he was before that. He's up 5-2 in the third set.
In the fourth set, he's up 5-3.
Yep.
Alcaraz serving.
Yep.
Down love 40.
Yes. Three championship points.
Three championship points, and he can't do it. Like, that is just thrilling stuff. So, listen, NBA game wasn't so hot. It was kind of what we expected, but that was thrilling stuff. All right, we did have the news of the House settlement Friday, and so we will talk about what all this means for your favorite college sports team and the world of college sports when we return. But I will tell you that it is the return of Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Summer of 1,000 engagement events, which is bigger. This is something they do every single year. Howie does every single year. It's kind of crazy. They give away thousands of carats of diamonds. If you spend $999 or more, you get free diamond jewelry. That's right. free diamonds. That seems
buy diamonds
good.
That give free diamonds. Diamonds.
Like McDonald's might give you a free hamburger. By the way, for the first time, I signed up for two food apps. I'll tell you about this later. I've never had a fast food app on quite the tease on my phone. I finally capitulated. But like McDonald's will give you a free burger, is my understanding, or something like that. Chick-fil-A might give you free fries or a free milkshake. Howie's giving away free diamonds. So, for example, you buy a 1.2 carat total double halo diamond engagement ring for $14.99, and you get a free diamond tennis bracelet. Or let's say this, you get buy a 3.5 carat total weight ring featuring a 3 carat above love star center diamond that delivers unmatched sparkle and performance. That's only $39.99. You get a pair of free diamond stud earrings. It's just kind of amazing. You buy diamonds, you get free diamonds. You buy diamonds, you get free diamonds. Plus 40% off engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding bands, and wedding sets at the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale going on now, right now, at Robert Irwin Jewelry. Shop early. Get free diamond jewelry with your purchase of $9.99 or more while supplies last. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their five locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you're in the mood for a po' boy, and I'm pretty much always in the mood for a po' boy, or you're in the mood for a little crawfish etouffee or some gumbo or any of that other unbelievably good New Orleans food, I got the place for you. Ragin' Cajun. In Bartlett. Honestly, I live in East Memphis. It took me 12 minutes maybe to get to Ragin' Cajun. And Mason Jambon, who's the owner of this new place, when he opened it, he said, I want a kind of neighborhood place. He grew up in Louisiana. He said, like the places that we have down there, sort of everywhere. And that's what they've created. Incredibly comfortable restaurant, great patio, and the food is spectacular. I got the sausage plate. Three kinds of sausage. Absolutely fabulous. I also got an oyster po' boy. That's my favorite kind of po' boy. Delicious. But the single best thing I might have had might have been the white chocolate bread pudding. As good as bread best pudding. And I am a bread pudding connoisseur, and I have never had better bread pudding. I can tell you that. It's located 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. Cajun 901. That's Cajun 901. Come. All right, Jeffrey, we did have a Friday. Was this qualified news dump? Is it? Why would you need the news dump? Why would you need to be dumping the news of the House settlement being approved by Judge Claudia Wilkins Friday?
I don't categorize it as a news dump because it's a federal judge's decision.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't dumping the news.
Correct.
So, okay. And I apologize if some of your eyes are glazing over. I spoke to Collierville Rotary last week, and hand went up and said, how is this going to help the University of Memphis? And the answer is it's not. Can we say that?
I think, pretty definitively.
Yeah, it's not going to help the University of Memphis. It's not really going to, like, from where we are right today.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes it worse.
No, it doesn't make it worse. It doesn't, that's not, not it, it, it sort of, it.
I think it continues what we're seeing.
It changes, and there's huge questions. But just the basic summary of this is, the part that no one really cares about is the 2.8, unless you're an athlete who's going to be getting this check, or a university that's got to be cutting the check. Athletes who did not get NIL payments over a period of years because they were too it happened after they were done with their eligibility, they will get $2.8 billion of back pay. And why did the universities do it? Because they knew that they were potentially facing tens of billions of dollars of back pay. So that's what happened here.
I mean, I think the lawsuit was going up for at least $20 billion.
Yeah.
So this is why $2.8 billion.
Yeah, we'll escape with $2.8 billion. Okay. So that's the first thing, and whatever. That's here to that. But the upshot is that starting July 1st, but deals struck now, starting July 1st, paychecks can be cut directly from universities, not from collectives, but from universities to players, to athletes. There is a cap on how much these universities can pay to the athletes directly, and that cap is, for this coming year, $20.5 million. Now you wonder, where did they come up with $20.5 million? Why is the cap $20.5 million? Well, what they did is they took the revenue of your basic power university, the average revenue of your power university, and they said 22% of that should go to the athletes, which is interesting because, like, if you look at the NBA salary cap, the NFL salary cap, whatever, those are basically structured, depends, each league is different, around 50-50. Yep. It's basically a 50-50 split between athletes and the leagues. Here, it's a 22% of the revenue that power schools getting. That's how they and the 20 and so over the course of this agreement, by the way, the 22% will remain. They will continue to calculate based on the 22%. It will, but so the 20.5 million will presumably go up. This year it'll be 20.5. Next year it'll be more. The next year it'll be more. The next year it will be more. You don't have to pay all 20.5 million. Every school will not. And if you are not in a power conference, you can either opt in or not opt in. Memphis has opted in. And Ed Scott has said they will not pay the full $20.5 million, that they might pay roughly half that. And we'll hear, I'm sure, more from Ed Scott maybe as soon as today. So that will happen. So does it help the University of Memphis? No. No, I mean, what it does is it's right there. Other schools are going to be paying $20.5 million. Memphis is not.
Yep.
And you're competing with them. Now, maybe not in football. Maybe you've always felt like you've been out-resourced and out-competed in football by power conference schools. But in basketball as well. Like, all of a sudden, you're Memphis and you're spending half on athletics, in direct payments in athletics, what Ole Miss is going to be spending. Right now, each school can decide how they're dividing up between football, basketball, Olympic sports, everything else. The general presumption is that football will get the lion's share, basketball will get a smaller share, and Olympic sports will get a minuscule share. That's the general assumption. Does raise some interesting questions, because if you are a school that doesn't have football, if you're Villanova and you can spend up to $20.5 million, same $20.5 million, you can spend a lot more on basketball. That doesn't mean they'll be spending 25, but whatever they spend, a much higher percentage will be spent on basketball because they're not spending a single dime for football. So it actually sets up pretty well for basketball programs if they don't have a football program attached. And then you're wondering, okay, I don't know what you're wondering. I'm just guessing what you're wondering. Then you're thinking, well, all right, what happens to the NIL stuff? Like, what happens here? And the answer is, You can still have NIL payments outside of this framework. This does not limit schools from paying above and from. This does not limit FedEx from paying above and beyond if they wanted to.
Right.
In NIL deals. But what happens is all of those deals now have to go to an entity. It's called NIL Go, which will determine whether they represent the fair market value of the player who is being endorsed. So if Seth Hennigan, for example, and my understanding is Memphis, I think, is going to send everything through the direct payments and not the separate NIL. We'll see how that goes. We'll hear from NIL. But if let's say Nico at UCLA, right? Nico has a separate deal with whomever. That deal they'll take it to NIL Go. And if he's got a deal for $2 million or $1 million, and they say, listen, we think this is overpayment. We don't think you bring $1 million of marketing power to Gatorade. They'll say, eh-eh. And they'll say, they can actually empowered to say, we think you bring $300,000 of marketing power to Gatorade. At which point they can either accept that, change the deal to be $300,000, or they can appeal it. There's a whole elaborate structure of what will happen. And supposedly the turnaround on approving deals is going to be very fast. There's Brian Seely is a former U.S. attorney, former baseball executive. He has now been in charge, put in charge of NIL Go. That news broke over the weekend. So that's how that is going to happen. Direct payments of $20.5 million. There can still be NIL payments on top of that, but those will be determined as to whether they are fair, accurate, and appropriate by NIL Go. Also, because let's be honest, as sports fans, what we partly want is an end to the chaos. And one of the ways that university are very clearly trying to inject some order into this process is the contracts that they sign with athletes, because they're going to have contracts with the athletes that they pay. They're going to have limitations. They're going to have, you get this much money, but if your grades, you know, blah, 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 if you don't do this, or if you don't play in bowl games, or this obligates you to be here for a year, or what, like there will be, these will look much more, some of them, and we'll see again how Ed Scott and the University of Memphis are going to structure it, how other, much more like employment contracts than the NIL deals that people have been signing with collectives. Those basically, a lot of them just said, listen, you'll make three appointments a year, you'll make three appearances a year with Gatorade, and we will pay you X. But they weren't as filled with employment-like clauses as apparently, and again, we're sort of making this up as we go along, as apparently these will be. Does this end our legal nightmare? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Because there are two things that are going to happen here. It very clearly will be challenged in court. One is, the first time a quarterback has a deal worth $2 million, an NIL deal worth $2 million, and they take it to NIL Go, and they say, that's insane. That's not worth $2 million. It's worth $200,000. I imagine, maybe not the first time, but one of the times, there will be a lawsuit. Don't you imagine, Jeffrey?
I think I might even say the first time.
Maybe the first time. Like who? Well, A, there's all kinds of lawsuits. A, who are you all to cap the amount that universities can spend at $20.5 million, at 22%. Where is that coming from?
It wasn't
coming from collective bargaining. So it seems like, where did this, what entitles you to break antitrust laws to come up with essentially a salary cap, whereas in the NBA, the NFL, wherever else, that salary cap is only appropriate and approved and deemed legal because it's a part of a collective bargaining agreement. So where does the cap come from? Where does the 22% come from? Why is that legal? You say you are going to have this entity that stops, you know, that determines whether these things are reasonable. Who the hell are you to do that? Why is that not a violation of antitrust policy? And by the way, the first time someone has a contract, some running back has a contract, and the university tries to enforce the contract, if you don't You know, they're gonna sue for that too.
Yeah.
There's going to be lawsuits around. There's going to be a billion lawsuits here. And so what happened over the weekend? Kind of interesting. You know who Greg Sankey played golf with over the weekend?
That would be the president of the United
States. That'd be the president of the United States. Because it's very clear they can do all this all they want. But unless they get legislation that creates an antitrust loophole or an exception for college sports, all of this is going to be the subject of lawsuit and overturned as well. Don't you agree?
I'm quoting Ross Dellinger, who's covered this basically since the beginning. With its approval, the settlement ushers into college sports a more professionalized framework, but one many believe that is ripe for more legal scrutiny. Already, attorneys are gearing up for the future legal challenges over, at the very least, the new NIL clearinghouse, Title IX, which we haven't even mentioned.
Well, that's the thing. Stop right there. You're going to be giving vast amounts to football players, smaller amounts to basketball players, and not women basketball players, some places, and then a minuscule amount to your Olympic sports and your women. And so immediately you're going to have, wait a second, they're getting paid more than we are. We are a university setting. We should get the same amount of money. Okay, Title IX, go on.
And the capped compensation system.
The cap, yeah. Where the hell Correct. Is this cap coming from?
Much of which can be resolved, legal experts contend, with a collective bargaining and or employment model that college executives have so far avoided. So the reason why I mention all that is I felt like there was a lot of moonwalking on Friday, particularly from the college side, acting like that this was some type of monumental victory. And then, like, I always come back to, okay, what actually got accomplished? And to me, the only thing that got accomplished was they settled that lawsuit, the back pay lawsuit. So instead of paying $20 to $30 billion, they're going right. to pay $2.8 billion. To me, that seems like that's all they established, really.
But I wonder if I think some of the moonwalking could have been strategic. In other words, what they're trying to do is create the impression that they have come up with a fair and orderly system, and now. No coincidence. It wasn't just Sankey. It was the AD at Notre Dame.
Yep.
Played golf with Trump. So now they go, they're like, hey, look, we just solved the problem of college sports. We went to the, we had negotiations with the player, the plaintiffs here, whatever else. We have solved this and we have come up with a system that works for everybody. And now all you have to do over here in Washington is you've got to come up with legislation that allows us to enshrine this. I think they are trying to create momentum and the impression that this is the end of the story. You already see there are various. But the problem is that, A, I don't know if you noticed this, they got other fish to fry in Congress.
Yeah.
Right? They got a big, beautiful bill that they got to pass and stuff like that. So they got other fish to fry in Congress. And then also you got people in Congress who've already said, no, we're not going to protect. We don't need to come to the aid of athletic departments so they can get more money and athletes get less money. No,
right.
No, that's not that is not one of our priorities to protect. Listen, why should college athletes get 22% when other athletes are getting 50%?
Right.
Like, why the hell are we going to come and protect conferences, greedy conferences, which have been falling all over themselves, tearing up the fabric of college sports, destroying conferences, their own conferences along the way? Why are we going to come to their rescue? They have a way that they can come to their own rescue, and it's, which, as Ross Dellinger said, the employment model,
yep.
which they refuse to embrace.
Correct.
So in terms of how it plays out for Memphis, I hate to say it. I think we will learn, and Ed Scott has said that Memphis will be at the very top, of, what are we calling them now? Group of six? What the hell are we calling them? The non-power conferences. That Memphis will be at the very top in terms of money that it pays as a non-power,
honestly, that's not embraced as the term, but I call it as a non-power school.
And that is great. That means that, listen, Memphis football should be winning its conference, from time to time, which it has not done, hasn't even gotten to the conference title game. Memphis should be doing that, and Memphis should certainly be doing that in basketball. No one in the American Athletic Conference or broadly in any non-power conference is going to be paying dramatically more, and most will be paying dramatically less than the University of Memphis. You have the biggest bat outside the outside the power conferences, so you should be doing damn well. The problem is that it's outside the power conferences,
right?
And
that feels like a bigger deal.
You
now
have
than ever.
Never in Memphis imagined yourself as we're just trying to win. Particularly in basketball, you have imagined yourself, and you have been a nationally relevant competitor that measures itself against the others, the other hell. What do people have debated forever since I gotten this to the city, whether Memphis is a top quote unquote 25 program. Sorry, I'm sneezing over here. That's the problem, is it enshrines the fact that you are. And we've had the haves and the have-nots, and it's that really the haves and the have-lesses. And even in the power conferences, there are going to be stratifications because there are going to be some that are going to be paying the full $20 million.
Absolutely.
There are going to be some that are not, and then there are going to have $60 million of NIL deals on top of the $20
million. Right.
And most that are not.
Yep.
So it's not just, but it does. It doesn't. Does it solve something for the University of Memphis? No, it really doesn't. It enshrines a system of inequality and an institutional inferiority that has already been manifesting itself, but is now going to be part of the framework.
It also feels like to me they're setting the conditions to bring back the under the table era.
To bring back what?
The under the table era.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
And why? Because
NIL Go says that this quarterback's not going to get his money.
Oh, someone will make sure he gets his money.
Correct.
Well, what's interesting is, that's the other upshot here, by the way, is that the NCAA will not be enforcing this. If there isn't under the NCAA now, all they basically do, well, there will be some academic eligibility stuff that they handle, but all they really will handle, they'll just be throwing some tournaments.
I would say they run championships.
They run championships.
Which, honestly, I do actually think they do a pretty good job of that.
It seems fine. So they will run championships. And so if there is a return to shoeboxes or under-the-table payments, the entity that will be now enforcing that or ferreting that out, isn't your understanding?
That's going to be the baseball executive, Seeley.
Yeah, that will be Seeley and
good luck.
The baseball executive. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington when we return. We'll ask him his thoughts on the Edie injury, what the Grizzlies could do, should do, might do, and we'll talk to him about, of course, the ongoing NBA Finals as well. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.